97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show on this Tuesday, 1 week out from Election Day. And I come to you this hour with some really bad news, unfortunately. And I hate to be the bearer of that bad news, but, you know, I took one for the team this morning. And I watched the CBS Morning Show where they have concluded, just as of a few moments ago, that Donald Trump has now forever lost the Puerto Rican vote, and as a result of that, will not be reelected president of the United States.
How the heck did they cover that then?
Well, because they got the talking points, the Democrat talking points. You need to go out and hammer this for the next 4 days, scare the hell out of Puerto Ricans, anybody that ever known a Puerto Rican, make them think Donald Trump said it, even though some comedian at the very beginning of the rally is the one that said it, and then go interview two or three of them that will now tell you on camera they're switching their vote because Donald Trump hates the Puerto Ricans. So it's official. It's over with.
I was busy rolling my eyes.
We might as well just throw in the towel. I mean, CBS has found four people in Pennsylvania who are Puerto Rican, and three of the four are now voting against Donald Trump.
That's it. He's lost.
I'm just telling you. It's over. It's all over. Throw in the towel. It's over. They're going to go vote for the Puerto Ricans that aren't allowed to. That's it. This is the biggest overreaction to anything in the history of the world. And if it wasn't for the fact that it's just a huge election, nobody ever would have heard from the second-rate comedian who came out right after the national anthem when they opened the rally. He was the first speaker to try to warm the crowd up a little bit. The guy's got some raunchy material, right? He did the Tom Brady roast. He does raunchy stuff,
as do a lot of comedians.
And he made one bad joke that people didn't even laugh at about Puerto Rico, and they want you to believe it's all over. Listen, hold on.
And you know, used to be able to tell people to Google stuff. My mom's a boomer in the state of Ohio, and there's no convincing her of anything. She's eating the cats. She's eating the dogs. They're eating the pets up there. It is absolutely wild times. It really, really is. And, you know, there's a lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico. Okay. All right.
Hear the oohs and the ahs. Like, he knew immediately that it wasn't well received by the crowd.
It didn't land.
But CBS has determined that because Donald Trump himself has not called a separate news conference to condemn the comments, he will never get another Puerto Rican to vote for him.
I'm kind of tired of everybody expecting all these celebrities and these politicians to come out and hold a separate press conference to condemn. Like, you hear all these people who are calling on like an actor or an actress or a singer to condemn. Da, da, da. I'm like, just no. It's so dramatic. I'm so tired of everyone being so offended. Think about all the jokes, the inappropriate jokes that these comedians make. If you go to a comedy show, are you expecting to not hear that?
I mean, apparently. These days, you apparently are.
They are funny in a lot of ways because they push the line. They challenge things, and they're going to say things that are going to make people feel uncomfortable.
But wait, here was George Lopez at the Kamala Harris rally.
Donald Trump said he was going to build a wall, and George Lopez said, you better build it in one day, because if you leave that material out there overnight...
So it's apparently okay for George Lopez to suggest that all Mexicans are thieves because his last name is Lopez. That was okay. If he had said that at the Donald Trump rally, Donald Trump would have lost all Mexican and Puerto Rican votes, apparently.
Right. Not only would they have said that Trump was racist, they would have said George Lopez was racist. And, Mark, they would have said that Trump's supporters are racist because they laughed at it. You heard the Kamala supporters
they were
laughing at that joke.
At that in the background. I know. There you go. That's the way of the world this morning. Let's get to our top stories, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The idea that Kamala's opponent is talking to Putin and discussing what should be done. I mean, anyway.
Come on, man. You know, what's his name? Kamala's opponent. He forgot. I think he forgot. He's toast.
If 60% of our members are leaning Republican, then it's up to the Democrats to figure out why our members are voting that way. Ooh. Instead of pointing fingers and looking for excuses.
They're mad because the Teamsters wouldn't endorse Kamala Harris. They're mad at Sean O'Brien. He's like, hey, not my fault. You better figure out what you're doing that's angered them.
One thing we have noticed in the last couple days, this is not all of the polls that are out there now, but we have seen a number, four in the last 4 days, potentially meaningful movement in Trump's direction.
Well, clearly, the Steve Kornacki guy there from NBC has not polled people since the Puerto Rican incident. Now that's going to just go nuclear.
First Alert 4 had been asking police why there were delays in releasing the full report. Monday, it was uploaded to their records website.
Yeah, we finally get the report on the shooting at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts in St. Louis. Almost 2 years later, right? And it's still not complete. Because inside the guy's car, they found his manifesto, if you want to call it that. That seems to be a popular word these days, the manifesto. They're now claiming that the LGBTQ community, that the little bit they did release shows that he went there targeting the LGBT community. To my knowledge, he didn't kill anybody from the LGBT community, but that's what they're claiming as a result of this report.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told by police sources that what's not included in here, what was in the manifesto, is that the guy considered himself a member of the LGBTQ community. That's the part that's not in the report.
So why would he then be targeting the LGBTQ community he himself identified? And I'm sorry, tell us again what he identified as, because I'd never heard of this term.
He identified as an incel, and he was non-binary. Yes, I had to look it up. An incel means that you are somebody who considers yourself unable to attract other people, like women or men, I guess, and that you're hostile toward them, people who are sexually active, because you yourself have not been able to attract that attention. I was told he considered himself an incel and a non-binary. So he's part of the group that the LGBTQ community embraces, but we're told that they were somehow the targets of this. I don't know. Clearly, they need to release the manifesto, but we know for political reasons, just like in Nashville, why they didn't do that now, because there was stuff in there that they didn't want the public to see. Interesting, isn't it? All right, we're going to run up against time here. I need to get to Mary Catherine Martin with the Thomas More Society. She's a senior counsel for them. She has read Amendment 3 inside and out, and she can tell us in detail what's in there that you need to know about before you go to the polls. We're going to be back right after this.
If she were 12 weeks pregnant or less, basically the width of your hand is smaller, you could basically do the entire procedure with this. But babies this big don't fit through catheters this size. You introduce an instrument called the Sofer clamp.
So that is one of the ads out right now against Amendment 3. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but you get the idea. And we need to hear more and more of those, because Amendment 3 would allow abortion in the state of Missouri for all 9 months of pregnancy. It's disturbing, but you're not hearing these ads on television. And you need to know what is in this. We've got Mary Catherine Martin with us this morning from the Thomas More Society. She's senior counsel there. She was the one that went all the way to the Missouri Supreme Court to try to get this off the ballot. Mary Catherine, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for digging into this and telling people the truth about what's in there. People read this, what's on the ballot, and they're not going to understand what all Amendment 3 is going to permit.
No, absolutely not. The operative language here is not abortion or pregnancy. These are things that pregnancy, these are things that don't matter to our amendment. Our amendment don't matter to the definition in our amendment. Our amendment gives every man, woman, and child in Missouri a right to all matters relating to reproductive health care. Full stop. There is absolutely nothing in the amendment that limits it beyond all matters relating to reproductive health care. So we're talking about not just reproductive health care, but anything relating to it. And in other states, and this is a common misconception, excuse me, in other states, there's narrowing language. Reproductive health care, meaning something to do with your pregnancy, or it refers to women, or it refers to, and a list of examples that completes the set. We don't have anything like that. We have all matters relating to reproductive health care. It's the broadest proposal to be considered in the entire country.
I think what's important to note, too, is even if for whatever reason you think abortion is okay with, which I staunchly disagree with, but let's just say you agree with abortion, okay?
Yes,
there's so much stuff in this amendment that you could not support as well and still vote no. And I think I had someone send something to me where you went through the actual wording on what would be in our Constitution and you drew
Absolutely.
A red circle around it. Like, for example, it talks about the government shall not discriminate against persons. And you wrote how that would end single sex public bathrooms and sports teams.
Correct. The discrimination you're talking about, you use discriminate and everyone goes, oh, I'm against discrimination. Boo, discrimination. Well, in the law, discrimination just means treating two different groups differently, right? And so now we will have only one group where we used to have two. Now, if we make it illegal to discriminate, meaning distinguish between people based on whether they've received reproductive health care, okay, then the government may no longer distinguish between people, women who became women at birth, versus women who became women by reproductive health care. Okay, someone who has acquired their sex by reproductive health care can go and demand a right that is given to women who have not used reproductive health care to become women. So that means that the government can no longer exclude from women's sports teams people who've become women by reproductive health care.
And it basically will codify the fact that if someone decides they need to transition their gender, the state would have to pay for it.
Absolutely, because another kind of discrimination that is currently allowed is the state's discrimination between paying for pregnancies and paying for abortions, other and gender transitions, and anything else in the reproductive health care model. So that same Section 6 that prohibits discrimination based on receiving reproductive health care prohibits the government from giving money for pregnancy while not also giving money for, so that means all benefits programs and all insurance programs run through the state, will have to, if they provide pregnancy, will also have to provide reproductive health care. There are a couple of huge, huge, huge misconceptions going on right now. And the one that is just breathtaking and that I keep trying to clarify for people is that there is no conceivable way that this does not include gender transitions. Okay, because all matters relating to reproductive health care, okay, reproductive health care has been defined by our federal government, not in a way that Missouri has not in a court case, right, but it has been defined by our federal government in the Office of Civil Rights, Health and Human Services, defined it as every kind of health care that has to do with the reproductive system, its functions, and processes. Okay?
Wow.
Now, changing your reproductive organs for something else has to do with the functions and processes of your reproductive system. Okay, and they've expressed a federal government policy to define reproductive health care as broadly as possible. Okay, now that's what we reproductive health care. We have a right to that under Amendment 3, and then also everything relating to that, all matters relating to. So even if you could argue that something like in vitro fertilization for the purpose of research, right, is not health care, which I would, it's hard, but is it a matter relating to healthcare? Well, you have to, in a medical setting, manipulate the reproductive organs. So I'm thinking yes. Okay. We're reproductive healthcare and then a step broader. Okay. And then what it does to that is it takes away all our current regulations regulating anything. Oh, let me point out, also means anything new relating to reproductive health care. Anything new that comes in, if it's a matter relating to reproductive health care, it will be protected by our Constitution and prohibited. We will not be able to limit it.
It's shocking. Mary Catherine, I'm going to run out of time here. Sure. I know you've done such good work on this. Is there a good resource you can give people?
Absolutely. We've got a decoder that's being printed out and handed out. And what it does is it actually decodes the text of Amendment 3. The entire text of Amendment 3, actual Amendment 3, not a summary, is in this. And the one thing that voters need to look at the text and understand why people are saying what they're saying. As soon as you look at the text, you realize 90% of what you're hearing is lies.
And is that the Thomas More Society?
It's at the Thomas More Society website, Thomas More Society with one O, more. .org/amendment3.
Very good.
Everybody look it up.
Mary Catherine, thank you for your time today.
Sure.
I appreciate that. Yes.
There is illegal immigration affects us all. On a road like this, a dangerous criminal carrying a semi full of illegals ran our son off the road. By the grace of God, he survived. Others haven't been so lucky. President Trump is right. Illegals break our laws, steal our jobs, and overwhelm our hospitals. It has to stop. As Missouri Lieutenant Governor, I'll fight to keep Missouri safe and deport illegals. You come here legally, or it's adios, amigos.
All right, welcome back. That is Dave Wasinger, and he's, of course, running for Lieutenant Governor as the Republican nominee in the state of Missouri. We've got him on the phone this morning. Sir, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, Mark, I'm doing great. I heard the polling locations are really long lines, and I tell you what, I'm on a candidate on this ballot solely because of Mark Cox supporting me and your listeners, so thanks for having me on.
You are very kind to say that. Happy to have played whatever role we might have played here, because obviously you were on my voter list there, and unfortunately not everybody won, but most of you did.
Yeah, well, I tell you, we're really excited. I think your listeners, I hopefully are excited. Like I said, the polling locations have really long lines. I think there's a lot of energy to get out and vote. So please vote Wasinger for Lieutenant Governor, and let's bring President Trump back to the White House.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that. I was looking at some of the coverage you've received from the media in Missouri over your run. The Missouri Independent, this is their headline: Meet the Disruptor Who's About to Become Missouri's Next Lieutenant Governor. Did you like that description?
You know, I had some conservative folks email. That was a hit piece put on me by the Missouri Independent, but all the conservative people in Missouri said, this is exactly what Missouri needs, a disruptor to go in and shake things up in Jefferson City. So I ran as a conservative outsider, Mark. I intend to, if I'm elected lieutenant governor, I plan on coming into Jefferson City, shaking things up, disrupt things, get these big conservative ideas across the finish line. So I look forward to going to Jeff City and doing so.
I'm sure you've been crisscrossing the state here in these last number of weeks before the election. What are the big concerns you're hearing from people?
The big concerns throughout the state, probably the two top issues are obviously the presidential race. Trump and that race get a lot of oxygen out of the room because of that. And also Amendment 3. I'm just seeing thousands and thousands of no on 3 signs throughout the state. You know, a couple of months ago, I think they thought that would win our pass pretty handily because they had so much money from Michael Bloomberg and these other billionaires from out-of-state interests. But I'm seeing a huge grassroots effort, so I think that's going to be a lot closer than people maybe thought 3 months ago. So those are the two big issues you're hearing about, Trump and Amendment 3.
Yeah, I wonder if that's, as Kim and I were talking about earlier, I see all of these people standing in line to vote, and I hope it's for the right reasons. I know that's going to be driving some people to the polls. Like Senate District 15 is, according to the polls, a pretty tight race. It encompasses most of West St. Louis County, which we think of as predominantly a Republican area of what's left of Republicans in St. Louis County. And yet it's neck and neck with the Democrat there ahead in one of the polls that I saw. And I have to wonder if it's not the lies about Amendment 3 and the abortion issue that are driving some of these people to the polls.
Yeah, I think it animates both sides. The particularly liberal women, frankly, get animated by this abortion issue. But if they drilled through this Amendment 3, think if they really read through it and analyzed the amendment, I think 90% of Missourians would be against Amendment 3.
Yeah.
So I encourage your listeners to really, really read that amendment, see what it provides immunity for those that conducting an abortion, arguably. For those conducting a transgender operation, they would be immune from being sued. So it is a very, very broad, extreme measure that I encourage your voters to vote against.
You know, talking to David Wasinger, who's the Republican nominee for Missouri Lieutenant Governor, remind people again just how you're hoping to get in there and make a difference. I mean, I know you'll have a role in the Senate. I didn't hear a lot from Mike Kehoe when he was in that position during the last legislative session, when there were key issues like, you know, initiative petition reform and a few things like that. I would like to see a lieutenant governor who's going to be more actively involved in pushing for conservative ideas over there in the legislature.
Hey, Mark, and well, you remind your listeners, one of the constitutional duties of lieutenant governor in Missouri, at least, is to serve as president of the Missouri Senate. So you preside, if you so-called, you can control the dais at any time you want, if you want to control the gavel. So that, by constitution, I will serve, if I'm elected lieutenant governor, will serve as the president of the Missouri Senate. And your listeners are politically astute. They know the Missouri Senate has been extremely dysfunctional over the last few years, and we're not getting these big conservative ideas such as initiative petition reform. We wouldn't have this Amendment 3 probably on the ballot had the supermajority Republicans gotten initiative petition reform, which would make it harder to get these ballots initiatives on the, you know, these constitutional amendments on the ballot where you just can't go call voters from St. Louis and Kansas City. You have to get, you know, voters from rural Missouri to ask to put this on the ballot. So as president of the Missouri Senate, I intend on being very active, look forward to working with the conservative senators, the moderate senators, and the Democrats. We need to get Missouri moving forward, and I look forward to working with any of them.
Yeah. Dave, what are you seeing around the state? Obviously, you're traveling a lot now since you're electioneering statewide. What, are you seeing that enthusiasm and maybe some of the lines in other parts of the state?
Absolutely. I was in Springfield last week. Clay County is there are very long lines in Clay County. You know, and I encourage your listeners, at least in St. Louis County, where a lot of your listeners are, there's an app where you can get online. Maybe you've already broadcast this, where you can find out how many people are in line. So you can look at a particular polling location, see how many people are in line, and that may assist your assist your listeners in finding a polling location where they don't have to wait quite as long. But it's statewide, Mark. It's in Springfield, Kansas City area. It's throughout the state. There's a lot of energy right now to get out and vote.
Well, I'm thrilled to hear that. I did hear they were doing that in St. Louis County. My guess is they didn't even consider that in St. Charles County. They're lucky to have enough people to man the two locations they've got out there right now. I had to wait an hour and 45 minutes to vote for you the other day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I heard on radio they were having to divert traffic on Interstate 70 in St. Charles County because there are so many cars lined up on Interstate 70. They're trying to get them to take a different exit because so many people are lined up to vote. So that's the energy level.
It was a swing and a miss in St. Charles County because we should have known years ago that this was going to be a contentious race, that there was going to be a lot of energy and interest in voting early. And then you have MoDOT construction on top of it. It was just kind of a mess.
Yeah, I think they may have to get Highway Patrol out. But it shows you how much energy is. I think a lot of energy to get out and vote for Trump, a lot of energy for this Amendment 3, hopefully a lot of energy for Wasinger for lieutenant governor. So
that's right.
We need to get out and vote.
David Wasinger, thank you for your time this morning, and best of luck next Tuesday. We'll be rooting for you.
Mark, and I can't thank you guys enough. I'm on the ballot because of you guys. So I appreciate your hard work, and thank you to your listeners as well.
Glad for any role we played in that. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. David Wasinger there, lieutenant governor candidate. I would suspect the next lieutenant governor of the state of Missouri.
I hope so. You know, Mark, I got a chance to meet him when you and I were at the Missouri Right to Life Gala. And
yes.
He and his wife were there, and just a lovely couple. And I love that they're calling him a disruptor. I think that's what we need. I think that was why I was supporting Bill Igel for governor, was because I felt like he would be that disruptor.
Yes.
It's time for these people to come together and actually shake things up, because clearly what we've been doing, as we saw play out with the last legislative session here in Missouri, is not working. We couldn't even pass IP reform. And then Kehoe didn't step up. He could have called a special session, right? Didn't do it.
Well,
Parson could have.
Parson could have called
it. Right, but he didn't even. I didn't hear Kehoe speaking up about backing that up, saying, hey, we need to do this.
I would have liked
to have
done
that. Why was he silent?
I'm voting for him.
But,
I've asked him a few of those questions, and I'm voting for him because the alternative, Crystal Quaid, is not an option. Not an option.
You mean you don't want to play roller derby? Isn't it roller derby that she plays? Is that it? No, remember, I thought that was a campaign advert. She's on her rollerblades.
Oh, I did.
Showing that she's tough and she can kick some butt.
I've just ignored that for the most part, I guess. I've managed to ignore that one. That's great. All right. We're going to be back here in just a minute. There's a great fundraiser you can take part in today for a local officer injured in the line of duty. We're going to get to all that and more for you right after the break. Stay tuned.
America is a country based on the idea that we can come here. And my great-grandparents came here from the Odessa pogroms in the 1800s, and they were offered a shining city on the hill. And this is not partisan rhetoric, right? These are the words of Ronald Reagan, Republicans' favorite president, right? And George W. Bush. I mean, these guys talked about America as a place where you could come if you were in darkness, like my relatives who were being murdered in Odessa, and they came to this country. And so this is the idea of America. And what we see in Trumpism is that they no longer want to offer that America, right?
Yeah. I wonder what Ronald Reagan article would say today and what George W. Bush is thinking today. I'd love to know.
Molly Jung and Mika Brzezinski this morning trying to suggest that Donald Trump does not support immigration, legal immigration, because he wants to shut the border down and stop illegal immigration. For God's sake, he's married to an immigrant.
Even Kamala Harris has come out and said that the border is broken. Now, I don't even know if I believe that. I think she's saying that because the general consensus now in America is that it is. So she's just going with the crowd, whatever she needs to say to get her elected. But even Kamala claims something needs to be done. It's ridiculous. What? Trump has come out so many times and said, we need immigrants. Right. We need them for all kinds of things.
We are the most generous country in the world when it comes to immigration, legal immigration. Over 1 million people a year are allowed to legally immigrate to this country. No country in the world, Matt, comes close to matching that. But you're heartless if you don't want to stop illegal immigration. I mean, if you want to stop illegal immigration, you're heartless. Somehow. It's crazy. And you know the people that watch MSNBC who were watching this morning are just lapping this up like cats in a milk bowl. I mean, it's unbelievable the lies they get away with and spread. And Mika Brzezinski acting like, what would Ronald Reagan say? Give me a break. Your dad, Zbigniew Brzezinski, was a hard lefty who worked for Jimmy Carter, of all people, and your family has been huge in the Democratic Party your entire life. You don't care what Ronald Reagan thought. You hated him when he was president of the United States. But Reagan knew we had to secure the border. He understood that. That whole thing just irritates the hell out of me when I hear things like that. But I wanted you to hear it as well. Let's talk about this fundraiser they're having today for TJ Brown, right?
Yeah, that, of course, is the Ferguson police officer who was attacked by the protester on the anniversary of Michael Brown's death, which was back in August. So what's happening is a number of these St. Louis area restaurants are coming together today, and a portion of the proceeds, if you dine there, are going to go to his family because he's still in the hospital. He's had surgeries. They're saying he's making some improvement, but he's still, to my knowledge, he still can't communicate, just very little signs, like a little bit of movement maybe in a leg or something like that. So they're hopeful. But some of the businesses include Cyberg's, all locations at Cyberg. I guess there's, gosh, like 10
there's
different locations
bunch
at Cyberg's.
Of plus Twisted Tree, my favorite steakhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can't go wrong with Twisted Tree. Espino's Mexican Bar and Grill in Chesterfield.
Thank you, Roseanne.
Yeah, I'm trying. Some of these I haven't heard of. Firehouse Bar and Grill, Harpo's Chesterfield, Mimi's Subway Bar and Grill.
So if you go in there, a portion of all the proceeds are going to be donated to him today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So today is the day. If you can get out and eat at one of these restaurants, that would be great. Is there a website associated with this anywhere on there, Kim?
Let me check. I know they had like a Twitter. There's a Facebook group is where I actually initially found this.
Okay.
Like, for example, on Facebook, it's Dine Out for TJ, and then Instagram, too. And they're asking people to share pictures. So if you go and you want to share a picture.
Yeah, dine out for TJ. So if you can get out and have a great meal today, maybe you stand in line for an hour or two to vote out in St. Charles County, and then you need to go to Harpo's and have dinner. So that'd be perfect.
You know what would be great is if you could have, like, at the deli counter, you have a number you pull, and then you go eat and then go back
and
to
then
vote.
Come
Wouldn't
back.
That be fantastic?
Oh, I know.
I'd
come
support
on.
That.
Kurt Barr, we're giving you ideas here. We're giving you ideas on how to get those lines down a little bit there. How about that? All right. Brian Kilmeade will be up here in just a few minutes. I'm sure he'll have more on Puerto Rico gate as the Democrats are trying to turn it into, which is just ridiculous, isn't it? Annie Fry, Mark Reardon in a little later today. Kim and Carl and Sue and I will be back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Have a great Tuesday.
Get more at 971talk.com.